morning. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first is to remind the deacons that we are going to be meeting, maybe not immediately after church, a few minutes later, but in the library for our monthly meeting. And I would also like to remind Session that we are going to be having our monthly meeting on Wednesday. And I'm sure you all are aware that we're having it at Arlie's house. But if you need a ride and you haven't let me know yet, please just grab me after church and we'll figure that out. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us begin with our call to worship. Sing praise to God who has come to our aid, who answers when we call and leads us to wholeness. You have turned our mourning into dancing. You have clothed us with joy, that we might sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord our God, we will give you thanks forever. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 17, Sing Praise to God, You Heavens. Join with me for our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. God's life-giving word and spirit enable us to live in a new obedience, opening new possibilities of life for society and the world. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, having received the peace of Christ, let us share signs of that peace with one another by greeting one another in faith. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our congregational anthem, God Bless America. The lyrics will be on the screen. Seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a few prayer requests. The first is for Teresa Sepik. Her husband, of almost 25 years, died yesterday in his home in his favorite chair. Please pray for the family. Blood clot to the lungs, and he died immediately. That's a friend of Susan Connors. Another prayer request for Wayne Ruby. He has Lyme disease, and just prayers for healing. He has been to the doctor and has gotten his antibiotics that he needs, and that's from Bev Ruby. This is from Kathy Sagi for herself. Praises for finding a potential issue that may give me an answer to my neurological symptoms. Praises also, it is nothing serious. I need to follow up with the neuro doctor. Prayers for positive outcome from that appointment and treatments would be effective. The next one is from Kathy for her mother, Cora Swedko. She finally went to the doctors on Saturday. They found she has cellulitis and AFib, but the AFib, they feel, was caused by the infection. Prayers for a quick recovery and for resolution of the AFib. And this one is from Kathy Honorato for the Burke family. Continue prayers for 17-year-old Owen, who is going to start Gateway Rehab this week, and hope this will work for him. That's all.
I have a few additional requests to add. This week I am on call for St. Andrew's and Emsworth Presbyterian churches because their pastor is on vacation, and their deacon emailed me this morning and asked if we could pray for one of their deacons. His name is Bill. He fell last week and definitely broke his ribs. They're not sure if he fractured any vertebrae, I think is the right word. So he's in AGH. They're running tests, and I think they have to put him in a full back brace. And I get the sense that he's a super active guy, so he's like not super happy that he's in the hospital in a full-on back brace. So please pray for him and that he recovers well. Also, if you could continue to keep my grandmother in your prayers, no changes, but she's not really getting any better. Finally, if you could pray for Mount Nebo, the basement flooded this morning because of the heavy rains, and because this church is located on a mountain, they don't really know what to do when things flood, so they're kind of panicking. It will be fine. There's not that much water, but if you would hear them tell it, our basement is a swimming pool. It's not. There's like 2 inches of water. We are going to be fine, but they're a little nervous, so please keep them in your prayers. I'm not kidding. I started the service by saying there's some water in our basement, and when I was shaking hands as I was leaving, people were like, are you bringing your swimsuit for the basement? I'm like, there's 2 inches of water, guys. Like, we need to calm down a little bit. I think those are all of our prayer requests. This time, I invite you to rise for our hymn of preparation, Lord, You Give the Great Commission. We're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 3, and it's number 298. seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to go out in groups of two, and you call us to carry no bag, no sandal, no stuff, and you ask us to heal the sick, to eat what is set before us, to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Lord, as your servants, we come before you today with our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we pray for Bill, for Diana, for Wayne, and for Cora. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, today we pray for Teresa, whose husband passed, for Kathy, that her neurological issues would be resolved, for the Burke family as Owen enters rehab. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for everyone affected by the flooding of this weekend and today. Particularly, Lord, we lift up to you Mount Nebo Presbyterian Church as they figure out how to drain the water from their basement. Lord, we lift up to you anyone who is traveling this holiday weekend. We especially pray for those who are traveling home through flooded areas. Get them back safely. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for an opportunity this past week to celebrate another birthday as a country. Lord, we deeply love this country. It is our home. We know it's not perfect, and we pray that you would continue to be with us as we discern a way forward. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
Today's scripture is Luke 9:1-11.
It's 10.
Okay. Sorry. Don't have a sermon prepared on Luke 9.
Kathy said 9. Okay. I'm sorry. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, The harvest is plenty, and the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning tells the story of how early Christians began to share the good news of Jesus with others. They didn't do it by renting out a stadium and reading aloud the Gospel of Luke. Nor did they do it by seizing Rome, burning it to the ground, and by declaring the start of a new Christian nation. No, they did it by traveling around, two by two, from town to town, giving and also receiving hospitality. Hospitality is the art of caring for guests. Sometimes guests are people that we know well, but occasionally guests will be strangers. The laborers begin their ministry by giving hospitality to the towns they enter. They go out in pairs, because pairs is a lot less intimidating than a group of 70. They carry no purse, no bag, or no sandal with them, because they don't want the people they meet to be intimidated by their stuff. When they enter a town and its people welcome them, they are to eat what is set before them, cure the sick, and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Giving hospitality allows us to do for others. We recognize someone else's need, and we work hard to meet that need. Giving hospitality is fun because it doesn't really require us to be vulnerable with people that we don't know well. On the other hand, receiving hospitality requires vulnerability, but it is the only way that we can truly be with others. The 70 carry no purse, no bag, and no sandal with them, because that is the only way to force them to rely on the hospitality of the towns they enter. Early in their journey, the laborers realize that not every town is super excited that they're there. Some towns flat out refuse to provide the laborers with hospitality. Jesus has special instructions for those towns. He tells the 70, even the dust of your town you can wipe off your feet as a warning to you. But be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. What Jesus is doing here is he's reiterating what we learned in our scripture passage from last week. Disciples of Jesus are not allowed to respond to unwelcome with violence, ridicule, or anger. In other words, we don't burn unwelcoming towns to the ground. Jesus tells the 70, you can tell a town that the kingdom of God has come near. That doesn't change if the town doesn't welcome you. But if they don't welcome you, you shake the dust off your feet and you move on to the next town. What Jesus is saying here is that it matters more how we respond to unwelcome than whether or not the town itself is being unwelcoming. I promise you, people aren't going to remember how a town welcomed you, but they will remember if you show up at a town and you threaten to burn it to the ground. Again, as followers of Jesus, all of our actions point back to the one we follow. And if violence isn't an option for Jesus, it cannot be for his followers either. This week, I've been thinking about how we as modern Christians can model this early church's practice of receiving hospitality. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus tells the 70 that they are to eat what is set before them. I think this means that when someone offers you food, even if it's not what you would prefer to eat, you should eat it because they have gone out of their way to provide something for you. When I think about my own life, I'm fairly good at eating what is set before me, except when it comes to coffee. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little bit of a coffee drinker, or as my mother would say, I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. I have very strong opinions about the right way to drink coffee, iced with a little bit of cream. I also have very strong opinions about what is the correct roast and how that coffee should be prepared. However, I've come to realize that not everyone drinks coffee, and certainly not everyone drinks iced coffee. Coffee is not a popular drink in many other places of the world. When I was in France, I learned that they either drink espresso or they drink this thing called Nescafé. Well, espresso makes me see sounds. And Nescafé is two chocolate milk, what is kind of, so anyway, when you're in France, they're like, here's coffee, and it's Nescafé, and it kind of tastes like this powdery substance thing that, like, it's just not good. I don't think I'm describing it well either. But in most of Asia, they don't drink coffee, they drink tea. When I was in Nepal, my first morning for breakfast, they offered me a cup of what can only be described as sugar with a little bit of tea. But my favorite is Russia. In Russia, they drink black tea, or vodka, or both for breakfast. So depending on where I am in the world, I have to adjust my expectations about what I'm going to be drinking with my breakfast. Yet, when somebody offers me something to drink, unless it is like really gonna make me sick, I do my best to drink it. Whether it is powdery Nescafé in France, sweet tea in Nepal, or vodka in Russia. Or my personal favorite is coffee at church potlucks that is so hot it burns my tongue and I can't taste anything for the rest of the week. Even though it's uncomfortable to drink something other than what you are used to, I can say firsthand you will not die if you don't get your morning cup of coffee in the morning. But if I don't drink what somebody offers me, I risk offending them. And if you offend someone, it's really hard to have a relationship with them. Friends, we live in a culture that trains us to rely on ourselves, not on our families, our communities, certainly not on the hospitality of strangers. Our culture also tells us that our individual preferences are more important than our relationships with our neighbors. One of the reasons that I love to travel is because it forces me to step outside of my comfort zone and rely on other people. Forcing myself to eat what is set before me, even if I'm not quite sure what it is, or that it's been properly cooked, or whether or not it's actually coffee, reminds me that God is in control, not me. That God continues to provide for me through the encounters I have with strangers. And that it is at the table that God is actively working to bring all people and all nations together. Friends, one place where we can practice eating what is set before us is when we gather at the Lord's table for communion. In our denomination, we have what's called an open table, meaning anyone can come forward to receive the elements. You don't have to be a member of this particular church. There's a lot of beauty in having an open table, but setting an open table means we don't get to choose who comes forward. And unless you volunteer to serve as a deacon or as an elder, you don't get a say in the food we serve either. Communion is one way that the church can practice eating what is set before us. Yet when we receive the elements, we embody our faith that God is the one who is ultimately in control. That God sets the table. All we have to do is show up. At the table, we catch a glimmer of the kingdom of God, where folks from every nation, neighborhood, class, creed, and confession all gather together to partake of this holy mystery. Friends, when we eat what is set before us, we proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. And the best part of this holy mystery is that we don't have to do anything to be invited to it. Communion is a free gift of God for the people of God. Friends, all is ready. The table is set. In a few moments, we will partake of this holy mystery together. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to remain seated for our communion hymn, Come to the Table of Grace, number 507.
Oh, When our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up, the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and Ruler of the universe. You made a covenant with us, and even when we turned from you, you remained ever faithful. Therefore, with all creation, we say your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising, as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. You don't need your slips anymore. Friends, on the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood. That whatever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God. Body of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This time I invite you to rise for our closing hymn. I don't have a bulletin in front of you, but you do, so I'm sure you know what the number is.
765.
765, thank you.
Blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.